Hello, boxing fans. Welcome to another episode of World Championship Boxing. And today we are talking about the awards, the 2021 World Championship Boxing Awards. And I'm joined by my co-host, Juan Silva. How you doing, man?
What's up, Logan? What's up, fight fans? Our annual for the ninth time, because I started talking, doing the show with you the second year you started doing the show. So, yes, the ninth annual World Championship Boxing Awards. And these awards will be a doozy this year, as they always are. I'm going to leave it up to Logan. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the biggest pussy of the year award? Or do you want to start at the top with the fighter of the year? I'll leave it up to you.
Let's start from the bottom. Pussy
okay.
of the year.
All right. This bastard, I don't know how he hasn't gotten murdered in prison yet. Felix Verdejo is the recipient of the 2021 Pussy of the Year Award for murdering, and I don't give a goddamn that he hasn't been convicted. It's always the boyfriend. It's always the husband. This is what happened. He got a woman pregnant, his side chick. Now, there's allegations that even his wife's involved. The woman was thrown off of a mountain or of a cliff and murdered, hit with a brick, murdered. He's still awaiting trial in a Puerto Rican prison. Pussy of the year, Felix Verdejo. That's all I got to say about this bastard.
Why don't you talk a little bit about him as a boxer?
He was hyped. He was hyped to the max when he first came out. Because he's Puerto Rican. His name is Felix. Bob Arum, Top Rank, was his promoter, and they were hyping him, claiming that he was the next great Puerto Rican star. He started out with a bang. He beat up all the dudes he was supposed to beat up, but then we found out he had a China chin. And in his last fight, a month or two before his side chick was murdered, he was way ahead on the scorecards when he got knocked the fuck out by Nakatini. To me, his career was over before this murder happened, because he was just going to be a stepping stone. He was done.
So the guy who knocked him out, he was losing.
Verdejo had knocked Nakatini down two times before he lost steam and got knocked out.
And Nakatini's not nothing to write home about.
He's lost to both Lomachenko and Teofimo Lopez. He's your standard run-of-the-mill gatekeeper. I mean, you know, he's a brawler. His best defense is with his face. He blocks punches with his chin. Yeah.
Okay, so Pussy of the Year, Felix Verdejo. Network
of the Year is without a doubt Showtime. Showtime showed great card after great card after great card this year. They had some of the best pay-per-views. Only problem I had with Showtime this year, Logan, is twice they showcased pay-per-views with the YouTube clowns, with the circus freaks. Fuck them. Actually, it was three times. Twice with the clown Jake, and once with his older brother Logan. The only Logan I recognize is my co-host Logan here. Fuck that. But other than that, you put that to the side, they had great cards on television featuring Stephen Fulton. Stephen Fulton recently unified two of the titles at 122 pounds by beating Brandon Figueroa. That was a card on Showtime. They have featured the rise of who I believe is going to be the next legendary welterweight champion in Jerron Boots Ennis. So Showtime is my network. And also, they did the pay-per-view, Canelo's last pay-per-view. and showed the fight the following week on Showtime. They did two of Gervonta Davis's pay-per-views, both tremendous fights against Isaac Cruz and Mario Barrios. So, yeah, Showtime, heads and shoulders above the rest of the networks as far as quality boxing on television.
And what promoters are working through Showtime?
PBC, Al Heyman, Floyd Mayweather Jr., PBC, and with their Showbox series that airs frequently on Friday nights, once or twice a month. I mean, once a month or twice every once every 2 months is mostly promoted by Hall of Fame promoter Lou DiBella.
And in these YouTuber fights, didn't they have some decent fights on the undercard?
Well, you had the rise of Montana Love, who's a great, great prospect. You had some decent fights on the. You had Amanda Serrano, who's one of the best female boxers out there. So, there were some decent fights and fighters on the undercards, but I'm not supporting anything with the circus in town. Like I told my son, who's 29, and I told my nephew, who's 16, who follows these clowns, when they'll text me the night of the fight, "Oh, did you see?" I said, "Look, last time I went to the circus was when I took you to the circus."
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, though, as a testament to the science of boxing, in the sense that they're using, you know, they have very limited skills, obviously, but they're using their size to go after these smaller people. Even Floyd was, like, much smaller, you know, it was like...
Yeah, but still, Floyd rocked that clown, and also, they're fighting novices, and what pisses me off, Logan, and I'm not going to spend more time on this than it deserves, but the one last thing I want to mention is that the clowns at BoxRec... And BoxRec is the official record keeper for all professional boxers and amateur boxers now. They count these fights as legitimate fights. They got this guy with an undefeated record. What, you fought NFL players and UFC fighters? The fuck?
Basketball players, yeah.
Yeah, basketball, NFL, you get out of here. I don't want to hear it. All right, on to the next award.
They might be also runners-up for the two pussies of the year, but anyway.
They would have won if this guy's mistress hadn't wound up murdered. They would have definitely won. Yeah.
Okay.
But if this shit continues, they're the front-runners for next year.
All right, let's talk about the – in terms of network of the year, let's go back to that for a second in terms of runners-up.
Yeah. Oh, well, ESPN, because – and you know, Logan, you're a subscriber to the ESPN Plus app. They have had a lot of fight cards throughout the year. If you go to their library, you see fights from all over this year. DAZN also. But one thing that I hate about ESPN and DAZN is that they have god-awful boxing announcers. These guys are horrible. ESPN with Joe Tessitore, everything is the 15th round of an Ali fight. Oh, how did you see that? He got off his stool.
He wants
Tim Bradley. Tim,
he
yeah,
wants
go ahead.
To be Howard Cosell so bad.
You hear how he screams for every little thing. They took him off the NFL because the NFL fans that was watching the ESPN Monday Night Football were complaining that he was screaming for nothing. A first down! He got a first down! He's horrible. And Tim Bradley, all he does is kiss Bob Arum's ass. He sucks up to all the top-ranked fighters. Mark Kriegel is clueless. He's fucking horrible. And the only guy worth his weight in gold is Andre Ward. And I love Andre checked Joe Tessitore a few weeks ago when Lomachenko fought. Joe Tessitore, if Lomachenko hadn't injured his shoulder in a fight against Tia Lopez, it might have been a different story. And Andre Ward was like, There's no proof he hurt his shoulder. No one showed me any proof. Like, I love it. Yes. Andre Ward, the only guy worth his weight in gold. As far as the zone goes, you've got Todd Grusome, Sergio Moron, and Chris Zanix. This is the worst boxing announcing team in the history of professional boxing. Logan, boxing is the only sport where you don't have to have any expertise to get a job announcing a fight. Todd Grusome was a fucking WWE announcer. He gets to be the lead man in the zone. He's horrible. He doesn't know the difference between a jab and a cross. He gets fighters confused. He's horrible. Sergio Mora is annoying. Kisses Canelo's ass left and right. He's just annoying. And Chris Mannix is like I just said. He's like Xanax. When you listen to him talk, you try and fight the urge to start snoring. Horrible trio. I give them the zone credit for having Roy Jones do the Alexander Usyk Anthony Joshua fight. Roy Jones was phenomenal. Phenomenal. And when that was one time only, one of these networks needs to give Roy Jones a huge deal to be their lead color commentator. Because we've said this on this program since day one that I've been on this program. Roy Jones, the greatest color commentator in history of the sport. No one can fuck with.
That's big.
He knows the sport. And he's one of the greatest fighters of all time. And what he says brings credence. When I was a kid, Logan, my father was the same way I am right now. He couldn't stand an announcer that would feed you bullshit because he knew the sport. And he's like, that's bullshit. Why is he telling me that? Roy is one of the few guys, and when my father was alive, he loved Roy because Roy would say things that my father wouldn't know. My father was like, oh, shit. Roy would talk about, oh, did you see something that Larry Merchant or Max Kellerman or Jim Lampley couldn't see? Oh, that body shot did something to him. Look at the way his head jerked. You wouldn't notice that. Roy brings that up right away. My father was impressed. And every time I hear Roy, I'm impressed he brings up something that I didn't know. That's what I want my boxing announcers to give me. None of these clowns, other than Andre Ward, give me that.
And Andre Ward, is he going to be doing stuff in the next year?
He's with ESPN. He's with ESPN. So he and Tim Bradley, and they don't need Tim Bradley. You don't need Andre Ward, Tim Bradley, and Joe Tessabore in the same announcing. Come on. Because Bradley screams, Tessitore screams, Andre doesn't scream. He's laid back, and he gives you solid to great analysis every time he's out there, and he doesn't kiss Bob Arum's ass. Why? Because he never was promoted by Bob Arum, right? He was his own man, right?
Good. Okay, so let's go back to what do we have? The network of the year. Oh, I guess we can go to upset of the year.
Upset of the year, man. I was complete. Key Garcia is washed up. He let this guy, Xander Martin, outbox like Xander Martin was Floyd Mayweather in his prime. What the fuck, Logan? What happened to our boy Mikey Garcia? He had one of the best jabs in boxing, one of the best counter punches in boxing history. And the night against Xander Martin, it was like the Monstars from Space Jam took his skills. He did nothing. He was lethargic. Didn't have the nerve to think after the fight was over that he won. Mikey Garcia is done. He needs to retire ASAP.
Yeah. Who did he fight before this?
The last guy he fought before this, I believe, was Errol Spence.
Yeah,
he hadn't fought
Spence.
In a while. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
I mean, and he was thoroughly destroyed.
And I think, and a lot of people brought this up, and I tend to agree with this assessment, that Spence ruined Garcia, and Garcia will never be the same. Because he took a 12-round beating. He did everything he could to survive, and he took a ferocious.
That fight was made. It was such a mismatch.
It was, because he's much smaller than Errol.
Right.
Errol was too. He came up from lightweight to fight Errol at 147. Mikey's an undersized lightweight, and he was fighting a big welterweight in Errol Spence. And the punishment he took in that fight, he was rocked several times, almost went out in the 10th, and did everything he could to survive. He's never been the same. It's a wrap for Mikey. Mikey. Mikey's a good looking, articulate dude. Maybe he should go into a color commentator. He'll be better than everybody not named Andre Ward or Roy Jones Jr.
Now, why didn't you pick Lopez?
That was my runner-up because Kambosos was a live underdog. While Sander Martin, everybody, including myself, was laughing like, "Who the fuck is this dude? I had never heard of this clown before." Kambosos I knew because he's a Lou DiBella fighter, and he fought a lot in New York on a lot of Broadway boxing cards. And for the longest, this fight was supposed to happen in the spring, supposed to happen in the summer, but it got postponed a couple of times. Once because Teo caught COVID, another time because Triller, who had the rights to the fight, couldn't come up with the money to pay both fighters. When they finally had the fight, it was a good fight. Kambosos showed a lot of heart, grit, determination, and whoever he fights next, he will be a live underdog, whether it's Lomachenko, whether it's Devin Haney. Whoever he fights next, it will not be an easy fight for the guy he's fighting. As far as Xander Martin goes, when you watch, yeah, he beat Mikey Garcia, but he's your typical European boxer. I mean, at 140, 147, he's getting destroyed by Regis Prograis or Boots Ennis or Bud Crawford. He wouldn't have a shot in the world against those guys. Mikey lost because he was lethargic, because he's done.
Okay, let's talk about some other upsets this year.
All right, you had Mauricio Lara knock out Josh Warrington, who was the IBF featherweight champion of the world. That was a massive, massive, massive upset. Alexander Usyk's win over Anthony Joshua was an upset because Joshua was the favorite. So those are a couple of more runner-ups as far as upset of the year. And
did you predict Usyk or Joshua?
I think when we did the show, I predicted Joshua by decision. And I was wrong, and I'm glad I was wrong. Usyk fought his ass off and fought a beautiful fight.
And he'll win the next fight.
Well, they look to be fighting in April, and I would go with you right now. In my opinion, there's only two guys that could beat Usyk in the heavyweight division. One is Tyson Fury, and the other one is Deontay Wilder, only because if you remember in the fight against Joshua, Joshua hit Usyk with a bunch of right hands that if it was Wilder hitting him with those right hands, they would have been mopping Usyk off the floor. Usyk would have to outbox Wilder for several rounds. He can't do what Fury did, and we'll talk more about that later on. He'd have to outbox Wilder for 12 rounds and not get hit with a single right hand, which we've seen Wilder's entire career. There's not a fighter, including Fury, who hasn't avoided that right hand.
But it's safe to say that Usyk is a very intelligent fighter and probably would approach a fight
different. But the thing
different.
Is, I understand, he would fight him the same way he fought Joshua. Only way to fight Wilder is I'm Usyk. I'm 4 inches smaller. I'm 6'3", Wilder 6'7". I got to box Wilder, exhaust him to the point like he was in all three Fury fights, and then, you know, just avoid that right hand. But can you avoid that right hand for 12 rounds? Because we've seen Wilder throughout his entire career. He can knock you out one shot in the 12th round, just like he can in the first round. So that's a very dangerous fight for Usyk. And Fury will try and bully Usyk, and that will be another difficult fight because this guy is a half foot taller than Usyk, and Usyk would have to have in order for Usyk to beat Fury and Wilder, he'd have to fight an even more perfect fight than the fight he fought against Joshua. He'd have to, because those guys will be coming out aggressive. Josh, and you notice, Logan, in the Joshua-Usyk fight, When Joshua tried to box, Usyk was owning him. When Joshua pressed the action, he was landing the right hand middle of the fight, and he began to score at will. And I'm like, why did you start in the 6th, 7th round when you should have done that from round one? That will be interesting to see in the rematch if Joshua presses him like he did in the middle of the fight, what happens. But we also remember that in the 12th and final round, Joshua was desperate. Usyk hurt him, and if it wasn't for the bell, Joshua would have ran through, would have fell through the ropes if Usyk was ready to put him away.
Absolutely, and it looked a little bit. I mean, obviously Usyk is very skilled, but
yes.
Joshua. I mean, maybe he doesn't have that eye of the tiger anymore. Maybe he just is a little bit lost a step. What do you think?
You know what? A lot of people think, and I remember you saying this, that the Ruiz fight might have took something out of him. You know what it took out of him? It took that aggression out of him. He hasn't been that aggressive since Ruiz knocked him out, because in a rematch, he boxed from the outside. He didn't even try to go toe-to-toe with Ruiz. So, but when you saw some of that in the Usyk fight, he was landing. So that makes the second fight interesting. I'm picking Usyk, but, you know, those Joshua right hands were landing. If he catches Usyk right with one of them, you know, Joshua does have one-punch knockout power.
Yeah, he does. But Usyk, we found out, has a damn good chin.
He's got a great chin because he took some of them shots from Joshua, and I think he was hurt one time, but he recuperated real quickly.
Now, what does Usyk do against Tyson Fury? Is he going to outbox Tyson Fury?
He can't outslug him. He can't outslug him. Fury's too big. If Fury's going to bully him around, he's got to stay outside. I think Fury has shown is a tendency to tire late in the fight. He tired in his first fight with Wilder. He tired in his fight with Klitschko. So Usyk would have to stay outside and just counter. He will get a lot of countering opportunities because Fury's going to come at him. So we will see. That's a very intriguing fight, and I hope that fight happens in 2022.
Yeah, it looks like Fury is trying to figure out who he's going to fight. And, I mean, I think he probably would love to fight Usyk and have Joshua step aside.
I think the plan, Logan, is for Fury to fight either Andy Ruiz or Robert Helenius and then fight the winner of Usyk Joshua.
So Dillian White once again priced himself out.
Dillian White is an arbitration with the UFC because he doesn't agree with how much they're willing to pay him in a fight against Tyson Fury. I don't think White's getting a title shot.
Didn't White turn down like a $5 million fight before this?
There's been a few times White has talked himself out of a title shot.
Right?
He better hurry up. He's damn near 40 years old. He better do something. All right, on to the next award. I don't want to talk about that motherfucking Dillian White. Fuck him.
All right. Let's talk about Comeback Fighter of the Year.
Kiko Martinez in another upset of the year. He knocks out Kid Galahad, and Kid Galahad was a huge favorite. I hated this fight because Kiko didn't deserve a title shot. Well, he fooled me. He knocked out Kid Galahad, put him to sleep in what was also a contender for knockout of the year, and takes his title. And there'll probably be a rematch next year. It'll be intriguing to see what happens in that rematch because, Logan, Galahad was the ring. He was knocked the fuck out. And will he ever be the same after that brutal knockout loss at the hands of Kiko Martinez?
I don't know. Probably not. That was brutal. Now,
and speaking of knockout of the year.
Well, but before you go back to, is there any runners up to come back?
I mean, like I would have, if Wilder would have somehow found a way to beat Fury, he would have won the award hands down. But he loses his opportunity in the fourth round. We'll talk more about that later on when he dropped Fury twice and loses the fight. And that was it. I can't think of anybody else. Chocolatito lost his fight against Estrada. A lot of people thought he won that fight. But I can't give comeback fighter of the year to a guy who lost an official decision, even though most people thought he won. So, yeah, Kiko was the clear-cut winner.
Okay, let's go on to knockout of the year.
Now, the Kiko Galahad fight was a contender. But the one that I thought was brutal, and for those who have the zone, and I know Logan watched this before we came back on it, Gabriel Zotto's June 19th knockout of Bektimir Melikusiev, otherwise known as Bek the Bully. Well, Rosado bullied the bully and knocked him out. He walked into a spectacular right hand, and Bek the Bully is still asleep as we speak.
Yeah, flattened him. Yeah.
Oh my goodness!
There's some good knockouts this year, right? I mean,
yeah, there was some good knockouts. You had Oscar Valdez knockout of Miguel Burchell early this year. That was a spectacular knockout. Of course, we mentioned Kiko Martinez's one punch good night of Kid Galahad. Good night, Sir Galahad. Those were my runner-ups to this incredible Bek the Bully knockout. I mean, it was just phenomenal.
I mean, even Tyson Fury.
You know what? Because the referee stopped the referee didn't count to 10. He stopped the fight because Wilder was out, but Wilder wasn't getting up. So yeah, that's definitely a runner-up also.
Okay, so here we are now, round of the year.
Round four of the Fury-Wilder fight. Round four starts, and Wilder is out on his feet, and Fury's going for the kill, and Fury is battering Wilder. Then midway through the round, Wilder throws his, you know they call it the Sunday punch, but with Wilder, it's not the Sunday punch. It's the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday punch. The right cross from hell. The reaction on Fury's face when he got hit was like, God damn! Fury went down, but unfortunately, Wilder broke his hand with that right cross, with that shot. But even though that being, Fury got back up, and Wilder dropped him a second time. But that was it. Wilder had, he had cleaned out his arsenal, because not only was Fury able to get up both times, but Wilder was completely exhausted and with one hand. But that round four, one of the greatest rounds in heavyweight championship boxing history.
So we didn't know that during the fight, right? We found
you
that
could
out
tell
later.
You could tell because he kept tapping his right hand after every round, and while he was in the corner or getting ready, he was tapping his hand.
Hmm.
Lennox Lewis was like, I think something's wrong with Deontay's hand because he keeps tapping it.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I think they, like somebody like Emmanuel Stewart, tried to train Wilder, and you saw in the first round there was some shades of Lennox Lewis.
I always said, had Emmanuel Stewart not died and had he been Deontay Wilder's trainer from day one, that Wilder could have gone down as one of the greatest heavyweights of all time because Emmanuel Stewart would have fixed him. And Wilder has the ability to be that type of fighter, but it's too late now. He is what he is, and he tried. First round, he was throwing that jab. And we will get into it because this is our fight of the year. Wilder Fury 3 is our fight of the year, and it was an incredible fight. Round one, Logan, like you just mentioned, Wilder comes out, he's sticking that jab. He wins round one. because he's jabbing to the body. But for some reason, he shot his load. He was exhausted. Rounds two and three, he got the shit beat out of him by Tyson Fury. Went down in the third round. It looked like it was over. Fourth round, Fury came out for the kill, and we just told you what happened in the fourth round. Wilder almost gets that miracle win with his right hand from hell. But then rounds five through nine, he is just getting the fucking shit beat out of him. Tenth round, he's taking a beating, but then late in the round, Logan, he hurts Fury with the broken right hand at the end of the round. And I'm like, oh, shit. But that was it. 11th round, Fury just goes for the kill, drops Wilder. Wilder's in the heat. Kudos to the referee. He stopped the fight right away. He didn't bother counting. Even though Wilder lost, he showed a lot of heart and determination that a lot of fight fans and so-called experts didn't think he had. And he lives to fight another day. I wish he would have retired. I mentioned that when we did the fight recap. But he's going to fight again, and hopefully it's a big money fight. Hopefully it's not against no bullshit fighter. Hopefully it's a big money fight.
They talk about matching up against Ruiz.
Well, right now that might not happen because they're talking Ruiz Fury. So,
really?
You know who they're talking about? You know who they're talking about now? Maybe him fighting is Derek Chisora. Man, he will kill Chisora.
I mean, there's very few people that he wouldn't have killed. I mean, it's too bad he came up against that one guy who had his number.
Everybody has your number. Fury has his number. That's all. That's basically it.
Yeah, I would love to see him against Joshua. I mean, that's a dream match.
And that fight, even if Joshua loses to Usyk again, that's still a huge money fight. Still, because they're two widely popular fighters. Remember, Joshua sells out all the time in England. You could have that fight in the United States or the UK and do huge business, even if Joshua loses again to Usyk.
Yeah, I mean, I almost hope he does so that we get the fight because, well, I guess if he won, he'd fight Fury.
If he wins, he's fighting Fury. But if he loses, that's one fight. You know, it could be that could be both guys' last fight. They don't. Neither one would have to fight again after that because they make so much fucking money in that one fight. We're talking, even without titles, they will get both will get at least $25 million. At least. And that's before pay-per-view and box office comes in to give them a bonus.
Yeah, and that's a pick-em fight. I mean, it's a 50-50 fight for sure.
That's a definite 50. I'd favor Wilder because he shows that he has –
he's a warrior.
He's been knocked, yeah, while Joshua is hesitant to rumble. But it's still, either guy get caught with that right hand, he could go to sleep. So, yeah.
It's I mean, I really would love to see that. Now
it would be a great fight. It would not be a boring fight. Go ahead.
There were a lot of good rounds of the year, so why don't you talk about a few?
Well, round 10 of Fury Wilder was a contender. The 12th and final round of Ioka versus Francisco Rodriguez from a few months ago, that was a super flyweight title fight. That was an incredible final round. Let me try to think. What other candidates for fight of the year that had great rounds? There were so many great fights this year. The 12th and final round of Jose Ramirez versus Josh Taylor was very, very exciting, and people were going crazy. And yeah, there were a lot of great fights this year, and in those fights, you had a lot of great rounds.
Crawford fight.
Yeah, well, that final round was an exciting round because we finally saw Porter stopped and his father stopped the fight.
It was. They had a few good rounds in there.
That was a very good fight.
Yeah, that could have been fight of the year if it wasn't for this one.
In another year, it could have been. But this year we had so many great fights. Oh, and also the final round of the rematch between Chocolatito and Juan Francisco Estrada. That was an incredible 12th round, and that also could have been a fight of the year, and that was my runner-up. That was my number two fight after Fury versus Wilder 3.
Now, what prominent boxer didn't fight this year?
Gary Russell Jr. He'll be fighting. I think he's fighting either in January or February, but he didn't fight at all this year.
Did the
Keith Thurman didn't fight this year. He just signed a fight in late January. He's fighting next month.
Oh, who's he fighting?
Mario Barrios, who had a great fight with Gervonta Davis, and Gervonta Davis knocked him out late in their fight.
Right. And, okay, let's, I guess we can go to the last category, Fighter of the Year.
The Fighter of the Year, and he did it because he became the first undisputed super middleweight champion in the history of boxing, and that's Saul Canelo Alvarez, rightfully deserved the Fighter of the Year. My runner-ups, Alexander Usyk for his win over Anthony Joshua, Josh Taylor for becoming the undisputed junior welterweight champion of the world, and, of course, George Kambosos, who shocked the world when he beat Teofimo Lopez. They were all contenders. But at the end of the day, there's only one man that's the Fighter of the Year, and that's the biggest box office attraction in the United States, Saul Canelo Alvarez.
He almost won last year.
Last year, Teofimo Lopez won our award last year. Canelo wasn't busy enough last year. This year, he was extremely busy. He fought in December, February, May, and November. He fought four times in 12 months, in 11 months. He fought four times in 11 months. And along the way, won every title at 168 pounds. And now he's the undisputed super middleweight champion of the world.
It's amazing. They're talking about him fighting like fucking heavyweight.
No, he might be. It looks like he's going to fight cruiserweight next, Ilingo Makabu, for his WBC cruiserweight title. And then I expect him to go down to light heavyweight. I don't see him fighting 168 anymore. I see him winning a title at cruiserweight, then going back down to 175 and fighting the best of the best there.
But Better BF.
Better BF. That definitely is in the conversation.
I know it's in the conversation, but I think he'd be a fool to fight him.
Better BF is a beast, but you know what? Great fighters like Better BF bring out the best in great fighters. Better BF's not going to blow Canelo out. That's a 50-50 fight. Remember, Canelo is an incredible counterpuncher. Better BF is going to give Canelo opportunities to punch all night long. That's not a gimme. Either way, that would be to me even more of a firefight than his two fights with Triple G.
I mean, they're even thinking about fighting Triple G. Yeah,
that's not happening. That's not fucking happening. Yeah, it's not happening because Triple G's at 160. He's not going up to 175. Canelo's fighting cruiserweight next. That fight's never happened again. For you fans out there that want to see a third Triple G Canelo fight, stop dreaming.
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Okay. And when do you think we'll see him in action again? I mean, he looked like he can take some time off, right?
Well, they talk Cinco de Mayo is probably the next time he's going to fight. Remember, he fought four times in 11 months, so
yeah.
His body needs to rest.
I know. I mean, it's funny because we think that this guy is just invincible. I mean, just like nobody can really touch him. I mean, what has been his
That's one thing about 175. 175 has two guys that have an even shot at beating him, and that's Dmitry Bivol and Artur Beterbiev. Those guys could beat Canelo on the right night.
But there's some other fighters that want to get at him. I mean, there's a lot of people wanting to fight Canelo.
Everybody wants a paycheck.
But, I mean, he's he has a lot of options, put it that way.
Look, and I tell people this all the time who bitch and moan about Canelo picking and choosing his opponents, but you know what? Floyd Mayweather did it. Oscar De La Hoya did it. Sugar Ray Leonard did it. Julio Cesar Chavez did it. Why? Manny Pacquiao did it. Why? Because they were the top star in boxing at the time. And when you're the number one attraction, then you get to pick whoever the fuck you want to pick because you earned the right to do so.
I don't know. When was the last time we had some guy, such a big name in boxing, can't even speak a word of fucking English?
It was probably Julio Cesar Chavez. And that was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And before him, Roberto Duran. That's it. He's the third guy. He's the third Latin superstar who came from outside the United States as the biggest attraction in the United States.
I mean, he's earned it. They got to give it to him.
Oh, my bad.
But
I'm sorry. Manny Pacquiao. But Manny Pacquiao. So that's four. Manny Pacquiao was the last guy. I totally forgot because he had to retire. Manny Pacquiao was the last guy who barely spoke English to be the biggest star in the United States, box office-wise.
And Manny's done, right?
Yeah, Ugas kicked his ass. Ugas was another guy that was a consideration for Fighter of the Year. He finally put Pacquiao out to pasture with the 12-round beating he gave of Manny Pacquiao. Pacquiao took such a beating, Logan, that his wife had to feed him breakfast the next morning with a spoon.
Yeah, that was hard to watch, man.
Very.
Such a great legend get destroyed like that. It's like no good.
Fought past his prime. Now, hopefully, he never comes back.
Yeah. How old is he?
42. It's time for the goal. Let's come on.
It's enough. Yeah, it's enough.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's right. De La Hoya was going to come back and fight Anderson Silva.
No, Victor Belfort first.
Oh, that's right. Vitor Belfort. My gosh.
Another fucking circus act. I don't talk about those acts.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, those are your awards for the year. We'll come back sometime late January, early February, and we'll do our annual Ring Magazine versus our awards and compare the two like we always do annually. That'll be the next time we do a World Championship Boxing. Happy New Year to all the listeners because this is dropping on January 2nd. And for those out there that love music, January 1st, which would be the day before you hear this, the Aaliyah Musical Tribute Podcast is out there. And check it out because very emotional musical tribute. And the young ladies that sent in their testimonials we read throughout the program were, I mean, as deep as it can get. Logan, I want to wish you a happy new year, big man. We keep doing big things with these shows.
Yes, and we can keep going strong into the next year. So happy new year to all our loyal listeners. And we've just been growing and growing, so I'm happy to see all these numbers. Every time I look at the downloads, I'm just floored how many people listen to us.
And Logan's not bragging, he's just stating facts. Because Logan, one thing about Logan, he's a Taurus like me. We don't brag, we just, you know, we believe in you are what you are, you see what you see. That's it.
Yeah, I'm flattered by it. I mean, I actually I'm amazed. That's all. We'll keep it up, man.
It's all due to you guys out there listening, whether it's the boxing or the music podcast. You tell your you guys are telling other people. You guys are retweeting it on social media. We appreciate that, man. I love it. I'm humbled, Logan, because the DMs I get about the way we do these podcasts. I mean, damn, I love it. The only thing I'm mad, Logan, is we should have done this music thing years ago.
Yeah. Well, it's good, man. We have a lot to cover. So we're never going to have run out of shows on that one.
Nope.
Yeah, you sent me your list. I was like, damn, this guy's got a list. All right. I love it.
All legends, baby. All legends. All legends.
Okay. So I guess we can wrap it up here. And we'll be back again soon talking about the Ring Magazine Awards. I think they dropped one of them, right? Yeah.
You know what pisses me off about Ring? You didn't know about the awards until the magazine came out. Now they posted on Instagram and social media and Twitter the awards. And I'm like, well, why would people want to buy the magazine now? I buy it because I love the magazine, but why the fuck are you doing this? I mean, I don't understand. I don't understand people's market. You could market it by saying, look, this coming out soon and these are the contenders. But no, by giving it away, a lot of people will not buy the magazine, period. Oh, well, that's okay. All right. So they gave this guy the fighter of the year. All right. So
I think it's just hard to make money on magazines these days.
Magazines are a dying breed. I think eventually Ring will, they have their website, which is an excellent website. They might just have to go to that. I think the only reason they continue to print the magazine is for guys like me that like to have a copy. Hey, look, today, Logan, I went to Newark, New Jersey, the Prudential Center, to buy tickets for a New Edition concert, right? I'm expecting that the guy that I bought the tickets from at the box office was going to give me printed tickets. No, I'm now finding out that they email you the tickets right after you pay the fucking tickets right there.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, shit. But I did save about $50 because if I would have bought it online on the Ticketmaster app, they charge you a ridiculous fee. They don't at the box office. But I'm like, what the fuck? And he was like, that's how we do it now, sir. No more printed tickets.
Okay. So you're going to go see now? When's that?
Yeah, that's April 1st, Jodeci and New Edition. And both those artists will be artists we talk about in the future, but way down the line, probably.
New Edition, man. Yeah. God damn, that's an old act. I used to love them when I was a little kid.
Let me tell you something, Logan. It's their 40th anniversary this year coming up. With the new year, 2022, is the 40th year of them together as a group.
But have they been?
They've broken up several times. They've broken up several times. But
right,
this
we'll
is the 40th anniversary of their first release. And another act that's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, well, that's a crime.
It's a crime. But we'll get more into that when we do New Editions months down. Logan, Happy New Year, big man. Let me know as soon as you drop that Aaliyah podcast, because these women are bugging the shit out of me. I'm like, look, January 1st, right? All right?
Yeah.
Maybe around midnight, so let me know.
I'll drop it a little early.
And
I'll let you know.
With this boxing podcast, January 2nd, Sunday. That way we don't have one show battling the other show for listeners.
Right. Okay.
All right, big man. Yo, enjoy your new year tomorrow night, man, and text me as soon as you drop the show.
Will do. Have a good one, man, and thanks, everybody, for listening. Peace.
Peace.